Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sleep. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, this is the Ralph Winterode Show coming to you live out of Alaska. This is Ralph Winterode II, and we're going to be talking about two things this hour. One is Roger Klaus's case about having firearms within the jurisdictional boundary, supposedly, of the Capitol Hill, of the Capitol of the United States. And then a big issue of the FAA being challenged by Dave Gladden on a major issue of how they scam us. It's all a lie, folks. Welcome to the, this is a like a precursor to hell. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. It's that bad. And I kid you not. The stuff I'm going to read you is shocking. This comes out of the brief put in by the non-constitutional side, the con, Lucifer, Satan side of the DOJ. Now, these attorneys know certain things to where not to go. Guarantee you. Anyway, this is page 16. A petitioner, they're talking about Roger Rodclass, appears to acknowledge a claim that a criminal statute is unconstitutional either on its face or as applied does not present an issue of jurisdiction that involves the, quote, the court's statutory or constitutional power to adjudicate the case. Really? Wait, let me read that again. That can't be true. A claim that a criminal statute is unconstitutional either on its face or as applied does not present an issue of jurisdiction that involves the court's statutory or constitutional power to adjudicate the case. United States versus Cotton, 535 U.S. 625, 535 U.S. 625, page 630. Quoting Citizens for a Better Environment, that's a hell of a case of 1998. It is thus a type of claim that can be forfeited or waived. In other words, let me just restate this. First of all, jurisdiction, they do not use the word subject matter jurisdiction. first problem. Jurisdiction is the, when they just say basic jurisdiction, it should be subject matter jurisdiction. Two different things. That's in the, found that in the case for the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. They use subject matter jurisdiction. Here they just use jurisdiction. Okay, that's a big, but what they're saying is here can be forfeited or waived. In other words, what they're saying is when we bring you into the United States District Court, which comes out of the territory of Hawaii, that's in Gladden's case, I've got the attachment there, under the revisor's note. The United States District Court is a compilation in Chapter 5 of all of the territory, possessions, constitutional courts, court in D.C., all these different courts are all put in the same chapter, and they say, oh, due to, this is the way we've been doing it. I kid you not. Then in the codification, they say the district court, judicial power of the district court, and it's before they got rules, orders, and all this. Judicial power of the district court? I thought the Constitution of the United States said something about judicial power of the United States. That means that it arises under, it is birthed, arising under the Constitution of the United States, Article 3, Clause 2. Nope. Judicial power of the district court can be done by a single judge called an inquisitor. It's an inquisition. They admit it. Right in plain English. Judicial power of the district court. How in the holy hell can you have the judicial? Where's the Constitution for the district court? Oh, it's by rule and orders and administrative nonsense. That's so right in front of it. It's anything we want it to be. So here they're saying, if you aren't smart enough and understand that this is all a con, it's forfeited or waived. Then they continue on. The court's decision in United States versus Williams, that's 341 U.S. 58, 341 U.S. 58, 1951 case, makes clear that the constitutionality of a statute under which a defendant is charged or convicted is not a question of subject matter jurisdiction. If it's not a Constitution of the statute or whatever, what, and it's not a question of subject matter jurisdiction, then why are we here? Oh, that's right. I signed up to be a citizen of the United States. I have agreed. I sat in that court and watched. I've sat it in federal court. Everybody in that jury in the federal, yeah, everybody here is a citizen of the United States. Oh, you betcha. That's what I used to use in the state courts. As soon as they got through, I said, well, okay, you just done oath here, so obviously I'm looking for an informed jury. What is that? They have no idea. Well, how can I have an informed jury? Then you get a dismissal. They figure out a way to, we don't want to play this game. The court held in Williams that a district court is authorized to render judgment on the indictment even when the charges in the indictment are legally defective. Do you think there might be something wrong with that statement? Authorized to render judgment on the indictment even when the charges in the indictment are legally defective. So in other words, we're going to scam you, we're going to con you, but if you don't know all the total things of the con, and if you don't bring up the right issues, you're going to jail. The court explained that, quote, even the unconstitutionality of the statute under the proceeding is brought does not oust the court of jurisdiction, end quote. Through the trial or an appellate court, or says, though the trial court or the appellate court may conclude that the statute is wholly unconstitutional, it nevertheless has proceeded with jurisdiction. Do you believe this? It's wholly unconstitutional. They can proceed. They got jurisdiction. How do they do it? Oh, they forgot to tell you. The rest of the part, which we'll get to down a little bit, the thing is they're doing it under the, well, you signed up for it. You can forfeit it or waive it. I sat right there and did it. I see it done in courts all the time. A few federal courts have cases I went to. I want to be tried by a jury of a citizen of the United States. I sat right there. I did not challenge the indictment. I see people, they did not do that. I've never been indicted federally. They never challenged the indictment, their status. That's why what I'm doing is putting into the public record my status as a citizen of Alaska, even though Alaska is not one of the several states. And all the other stuff, it's $150 right now, with the, and it may go up a little bit more because I keep adding to the stuff that's in there about private law and all these others. But once it's in the public record, it becomes true, a certified copy under Evidence Rule 901, number 7. So where's the evidence that I'm not? Where's your evidence? You can say all you want, your ipsy dixit by your own thing, pontifications. Oh, yeah, he's a citizen of the United States, or it's irrelevant. Evidence, please. Not in evidence. Where is it? They continue on in this. In the era of Seibold was decided. That's an earlier case back in the 1800s. Such habeas review was limited to claims that the convicting court had no jurisdiction to render the judgment which it gave. And direct review of the criminal conviction in the court did not exist. As the court has since recognized, the court accordingly relied upon a somewhat expansive notion of jurisdiction. That was done in 1994. To address the constitutional claims of habeas. By the middle of the 20th century, however, this court finally abandoned the kissing of the jurisdictional book. Well, ain't that this damn frickin' special? This was in a dissenting opinion, Souter. We abandon the kissing of the jurisdictional book if the subject court doesn't have subject matter jurisdiction. What the hell am I doing there? And openly entertain constitutional claims on habeas without maintaining a jurisdictional fiction. Because a constitutional challenge of a statute of conviction is not jurisdictional in the modern sense, it is subject to forfeiture, waiver, and preclusion. Let me read that again. Because a constitutional challenge to a statute of conviction is not jurisdictional in the modern sense, it is subject to forfeiture. I can forfeit it, I can waive it, and they can be precluded. Quoting, no procedural principle is more familiar to this court than a constitutional right. And a right of any sort may be forfeited in a criminal as well as a civil by the failure to make timely assertion of the right before a tribunal, not a court, a tribunal, having jurisdiction, not subject matter jurisdiction, to determine it. Another Supreme Court case. Similarly, even the most basic rights of criminal defendants are subject to waiver. 1991 case. Like most other constitutional claims, a challenge to the statute's constitutionality can be relinquished? Really? Do they tell you that? And how they do it is because you don't know. How would we know? How's anybody supposed to know? And then they go on to down farther down the standard definition of jurisdictional in the judicial sense. When both Rule 11A2 was enacted and now refers, wait a minute, Rule 11A2? A rule of court? What the hell is a rule of court doing on the holdings of the Supreme Court of the United States? What are they talking about there? Why does a rule have any bearing on this? Oh, that's right. Let's see, in 1934, they enacted that the rules of court trump every statute civilly. 1934. In 1940, Congress got around and said, guess what, for the citizen of the United States, criminally, every rule of court trumps every statute. So the courts are running on rules of court for citizens of the United States because we signed up for it. Do you know, even in the Constitution of the state, Constitution for the state of Alaska, for the state of Alaska, not of, for, in the rules of court, our, quote, kangaroo legislature down in Juneau, that criminal cabal, well, if they make any what they think are statutes of Alaska that is against any rule of court, do you know they have to get a two-thirds majority of the legislature before it can even proceed to the governor? It It's an automatic veto by the rules of court. That's right. They print this dang stuff, criminal or civil. They print it. And you bring it up to these things. Oh, you just misinterpreted it. Well, wait a minute. It's really plain English there. They don't want to go there. Because they can't. They're working for the Satanist. The standard definition of jurisdiction, jurisdictional, not the subject matter jurisdiction, both when Rule 11A2 was enacted and now refers to the authority by which the courts and judicial officers take cognizance of and decide cases, Black's Law Dictionary they were relying on, defining jurisdictional, similar alternative definition of jurisdictional to reflect here means pertaining or relating to jurisdiction. Pertaining or relating. Wait a minute. How about subject matter jurisdiction got to be on the record before you can proceed? Oh, we're not doing that. It just pertains to or relates to it. Defining criminal jurisdiction as power of a tribunal, not a court. Tribunals. Tribunals, not the same thing. To hear and dispose of. They had federal. The tribunals were civil. Out of Roman civil law, and there's a lot more to it than that. Power of a tribunal to hear and dispose. Hear and dispose. Hear and dispose of criminal cases. Is that what's going on in there? I thought we were supposed to be found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt with evidence. But the court that has subject matter jurisdiction on the record, there's all kinds of cases on that. But we're talking here to hear and dispose. We're going to hear it. Hey, what do you got to say over there? Well, what are you going to say over here? And we're going to dispose it. That's not a disposal. We turn it on and there you go. Black's Law, 10th edition. I haven't seen the 10th, but the 9th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. They don't use citations or precedents out of the courts. They've got all kinds of other crazy definitions that they just come up with. So why would I rely upon that? And they go on to say, a defect, this is the 10th edition, that is, quote, jurisdictional, i.e. one that goes to the court's power to adjudicate. How does the court get power to adjudicate? I can waive it, surrender it, or be precluded. Is one that can never be forfeited or waived. Oh, really? Doesn't happen that way. Then they go on to continue in this thing. The committee's statements thus illustrates that Rule 11A was designed to bring finality and certainly as possible to a guilty plea by ensuring that an unconditional plea would foreclose any subsequent claim that is subject to forfeiture. The committee viewed traditional plea of guilty as having complete finality because it admits both legal guilt and factual guilt. Federal Criminal Rule 11. Advisory Committee note. Oh, well, wow, that makes it really work well. Okay, so we got an advisory committee on Rule 11, so we're going to rely upon that for this case. No. So that's one of the issues that's up is if you can be factually guilty, but are you legally guilty? That's being adjudicated. But they don't tell you all this other that I just read up above. The court will not, they don't want to use subject matter jurisdiction because they don't have it. The only court that has subject matter jurisdiction is the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. I got a congressional thing, record that says so. That's why they created it in 1984. Anything that comes out of the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, or the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, has bearing all across these United States, just like the Supreme Court. All of the other ones, where you're found there jurisdictionally, it's only in that area, it's only good for that circuit. Well, that ought to be a wake-up call right there because the circuits disagree. Well, this circuit disagrees with that circuit because in the land of Oz, fictional world, we can feel like whatever we want. We got all these judges that just make this stuff up. So they don't have to agree. Back in a minute.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, well, we're back here, and is this shocking? What I just read in about the, we don't have to have subject matter jurisdiction. We just got jurisdiction. We can proceed forward even though we know it's all totally flawed and diff you and put you in jail. Really? Is that what our republic's all about? Don't think so. But if you know enough to challenge all of this stuff initially, it's a concerted con job, then maybe, just maybe, you might be able to escape. Now, we're challenging that stuff in Richard Rappert's case up in Minnesota with a motion for post-conviction relief, which you'll be filing tomorrow in a habeas corpus ad subjunctium. But see, in that court, you have to understand, if you're going to go to the constitutional side, you have to figure out who you are, because there is a presumption that you're a citizen of the United States, because you've signed up for it. Got a driver's license. I did that with Gene Wagner or Warner down here in, a long time ago. We went in and challenged jurisdiction. The judge said, do you have a driver's license? Yep. You get the permanent fund? Yep. You are a registered voter? Yep. Yeah, I have jurisdiction. What the hell had just happened? Because each one of them requires, under the penalties of perjury, you were a citizen of the United States. I have entered the matrix. And I have said it under the penalties of perjury. It's true and correct. I want satanic man-made law. I don't want that constitutional side where the Christians inalienable rights for the Creator, law of the land, due process of law. I don't want that stuff. Sheesh. Who would want that stuff? We do it. Now, in Dave Gladden's case, and let me get the case number. I'm going to be posting this, but it does exist. It's in the District Court of the United States, by the way. 1948, they came out with United States District Court. Now, I claimed in here that they have never repealed that one because the real circuit courts of the United States and the real district courts of the United States were both in operation until 1911. In 1911, they took the district or circuit courts of the United States and put that judicial power into the lower district courts of the United States. And we started a new court of appeals that started back in the 1890s. That became the fictional court to go to. That was phase one. 1948, the district court of the United States, I don't think it's been repealed. I haven't checked that yet, but they came up with a brand new one called United States District Court. That's the fictional nonsense. That's the land of Oz. So we put on the briefing District Court of the United States in quotation marks, District of Alaska. What's even crazier, I called into a radio talk show up here, KENI, in the Constitution for the state of Alaska. For. It's not for the people. It's not of. It's for. I said, did you ever read the Constitution for the state of Alaska? Article 2 says you got to be Alaska or resident of Alaska. Article 3 for the executive said you got to be a citizen of the United States. Article 4 says you got to be a citizen of the state and of the United States for the judicial officers. Do you think we might have a problem here? Why are they not all the same? Click. Don't want to talk about it. This is the problem we run into. We don't wake up the people. Because, that Constitution of the State of Alaska, we got the most communist. It says right in there, we don't even own the land. It says so right in the damn Constitution. Anyway, getting back to Gladden's. What is the issue of his? He has 35 years, 14,000 hours of bush and commercial flying. Bush flying in Alaska is a very dangerous thing. There aren't a lot of old bush pilots. There aren't. Because in talking to him about all of the, when you're flying up here, it's a continual, every minute you're making a decision about weather, about air shear, all sorts of things that can come up in Alaska. It's just amazing. What is the main thing? Yes, here he is. Gladden didn't do anything wrong. And what are they using? Gladden has, quote, a personality disorder that is severe enough to have repeatedly manifested itself by overt acts. That's what they're using. That's what the essential element is all about. Mark in Florida, you got a question or comment?
Yeah, I got a couple, Ralph, because it confuses me, the wording and the terms. So if you could define things in the third grade English to help me out, I'd appreciate it. When they say the jurisdiction can or cannot be waived, what exactly does that mean? That I can't tell the court no, or what does it mean?
Well, hold on a minute. I'll be back. Got to go pay bills.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Okay, well, we're back here. Question about jurisdictional and subject matter jurisdiction. In a constitutional court that's made not for citizens of the United States, the law, it's got to be called a statute of the United States. It's made not for citizens of the United States. It's made for a, it's called a general law. Now, they go to public laws. Public laws can be general, but not all public laws are. And what they're doing today is called private law. So it applies to a specific class called citizens of the United States. But they have to get us to join up for this. We have to go to the voter pool, run things, and vote as a citizen of the United States. There is no elective franchise for that. It's only for a citizen of the several states, and we've done that in several states now. They won't stop you. Like in Alaska, some of them have questioned other ones because people don't know how to deal with it. But the elective franchise for the Constitutional Republic is only by citizens of the several states. So we have to get around. That's why there's two things that are extremely important, is to get your status into the public record, then sign up to vote as using your elective franchise, or it's also called suffrage. The right to vote under the 15th is only the act. It is not the actual rights, secured right of what's called the elective franchise. So under this subject matter jurisdiction, it has to appear on the record. They never put it in the record. And if you start challenging this, boy, they do not want to go there. There was a guy out of Texas, I forget his name. He brought that issue up, but he didn't end up winning. But he was on point for a lot of his stuff. It's got to be in the record. And personal jurisdiction can be waived. But it's supposed to be in the record too. So, but the thing is, you have to fight these things and say, look, I want to, I'm a citizen of one of the several states. I'm domiciled in wherever you're in Florida. I'm a citizen of Florida. And this is private law, has no application to me at all. And the courts do not, their jurisdiction, it should be subject matter jurisdiction, does not arise under Article 3, Clause 2. That's not to go there. Okay, and these, in the United States of America will show up if you're dealing with a federal agency. Wait a minute, United States of America, which I'm working on, is a sovereign body politic. And then they will go ahead and plead sovereignty of the United States. Wait a minute. The real party of interest says United States of America. Why are you using United States down here? That's because what they say is true. The sovereignty of the United States is not waived. But wait a minute, we're talking United States of America. Go look at all your IRS cases and all that. It's always United States of America. Go ahead.
So if personal jurisdiction can be waived, and the word waived meaning eliminated.
No, I don't eliminate. Say I'm just going to submit to the court. I'm not going to argue with you. Because most people don't even know. They don't even know they're a citizen of one of the several states.
So if I waive personal jurisdiction, I'm giving the court authority over me.
Yep, just by showing up. Unless you come in limited and restricted appearance, you're just by appearing there automatically, you've waived it. Limited and restricted appearance.
So just by showing up, I've waived personal jurisdiction.
Yep.
That means the court has authority over me.
Right, and if you get around and enter a plea of not guilty, you've waived the subject matter jurisdiction. Got to challenge the authority, which is what we did
the term waived means you don't have to prove it.
Yeah, I just gave it up or forfeit it forever. I waived it. I said, I don't want to argue that issue. You got to be a legitimate court, just like our judges in Alaska. We got them to admit that they are undersigned jurists. They have a law degree, and they sign legal documents at the end, and a judge signed it. So I don't have to have an oath of office as a public officer. I was never appointed by anybody. I don't have any civil commission. She signed it. Told us to go to hell.
Okay,
what are you going to do about it?
Okay. So if I go into court and say, I do not waive personal jurisdiction, What might that do?
Well, you've got to be able to prove these things, and you want to have them put on the record subject matter jurisdiction. And if you want to see some of it pled out, you might want to send me an email at irs@alaskaminuteman.com, and you can see how we dealt with it in John Thornton's case up in Minnesota. Boy, they didn't want nothing to do with anything.
Doesn't your accuser have to prove the court has jurisdiction, not the judge?
Only on the law side. Got to remember, we're in the land of Oz. The whole republic's been overthrown. You have to extricate yourself from this nonsense the way it is today. It used to be it never proceeded unless all this stuff was in the record. Now we have a fictional law that we're in the land of Oz, so you have to find out where's the door to get the hell out of here.
So if you walk into court, you waive personal jurisdiction, but if they arrest you and drag you into court, have you waived anything then?
If you mean arrest you, sure. But only if you appear in court. You want to challenge all this stuff up front. And that's one of the things that Rottweiler's case is about. Can you, if you don't challenge it up front, don't you have that right to bring it up? That's one of the issues they're bringing up in his case. Don't I still have that right on appeal? I've been conned.
So would it be better, say, for a traffic citation, they issue a citation and you do not show up,
nope,
and then they come out and arrest you and drag you in,
nope,
would it be better
nope
to have them
nope
arrest you and drag you in?
Nope. Nope. You want to challenge the whole thing.
You're screwed either way.
I'm sorry?
You're screwed either way, whether you show up or
no,
not.
No, you're not. Look at the brief. Put in, if you're interested, irs@alaskaminuteman.com, and you'll see what we did in John Thornton's case. It's all lined out, all sorts of things we asked. This is the way, it was just a regular traffic citation.
Okay,
and it was too hot to handle. There's a ton of issues, which I don't have time to go through the story because I want to go through Gladden's case here. But, no, it's a really good issue. And just put IRS at AlaskaMinuteman.com and put in there.
You would see.
No, within 60 hours. Oh, yes, absolutely. All the evidence is there. I put the evidence in. It's, don't take my word for anything. We got the document right out of the court.
I'll
the private prosecutor got it on Monday. The court got it on Tuesday and Wednesday. We were done. Just that quick. Okay?
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Going back to Gladden's case, that they do with all this thing. They use this ordinance, or CFR, Code of Federal Regulations, 67.207, mental. Okay. It says no established medical or clinical diagnosis. Number one, a personality disorder that is severe enough to have repeated manifest itself by overt acts. What the hell does that mean? It is not defined in the courts. It is not defined in their book, the Bible for the psychiatric folks. Let me find that. Here, that's we got it. Gladden bought the book, the diagnostic. It's the Professional Bible and Standards of the American Psychiatric Association, and it's called Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th Division, DSM-5, American Psychiatric Association, and it's copyrighted. We got a copy of the 2013. And guess what? They say specifically in there, you cannot... anything to do with this nonsense of personality disorders, you cannot use anything that's filed in a civil or criminal case. So what did they do to Dave Gladden? They pulled his for no reason, basically because he was causing, he stirred the pot big time in Dillingham, a corrupt little town of many, corrupt beyond belief. So they pulled his second-class medical. So we did the administrative appeal. You only do administrative appeals, by the way, for citizens of the United States. They don't exist for the, on the constitutional side. Do we have any evidence of that? Oh, yeah. All kinds of it. Let's see if I can bring up one of them here. This is out of the Administrative Procedures Act of Congressional Record, page 5656, May 24th. This is the for citizens of the United States nonsense. Congressional record. After a law, I'm reading it now. This is May 24th. After a law has been passed by Congress before it applies to the, quote, individual citizen, there are about three steps that must be taken. First, the Bureau, that's business, having charge of enforcement, must write rules and regulations to amplify, interpret, and expand the statute that we passed. Rulemaking, we call it. Really? Individual citizen. That's a citizen of the United States or alien lawfully here. Second, there must be some procedure whereby an individual citizen, see how they use that word, who has some contact with the law, can be brought before the Bureau, in his case, adjudicated. So you do this administrative nonsense on a proposed rule. Finally, there must be some procedure where the individual can appeal to the courts from the action taken by the Bureau. Isn't that amazing? Before it applies, there's got to be rules and regulations, and those got to be published in the Federal Register under proposed rules and final rules. Really? Are any of those people accountable to us? No. This was started back in the 1880s for the interstate commerce stuff. We want to have agencies that are called external establishments. We want to put them out there, and they will have no political influence over them. We'll just put somebody in charge and then let them do whatever the hell they want. We're in utopia, man. We made heaven. Yipper. That's the world for citizens of the United States. And then when they come out with a final rule, which they have to wait 30 days, because we're supposed to be able to read this thousands of pages of crap that comes out every frickin' damn week. Then it goes before Congress, and they have 6 months congressional review to up or down what these folks did. Almost never gets downed. Really. Is that what they teach in school? Statutes of the United States do? Of course not. So we don't know this. So anyways, getting back to Dave Gladden's case here, don't want to run out of time to get into the... So he goes up, they do it, go up on appeal to the National Transportation Board or something. It's cost your administrative remedies, boy! Yes, sir! So we go up there. This guy, Tilton, Dave had gone down to a Jergens. Oh, you can do this. We'll give you the thing back if you go down and you submit to a psychiatrist. So he went down, flew at a great expense down to Washington, was examined. The guy said, no, he got no problems here within this. I'll give him his license. So Tilton, a guy that had never met him, has never examined him, said, oh, no, we're going to pull it. Based on what? Well, he has this here personality disorder that is severe enough to have repeatedly manifested itself by overt acts. Well, what the hell does that mean? So Dave filed into the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So we're up there adjudicating that, and all of a sudden Tilton has because into the appeal side, on the administrative side, he's become aware of, I think it was like 20 days or something like that. Oh, my God! There's no authority here to do this. He gives Dave back. Oh, now we found that you can go ahead and do this. So you go down, and anyway, he goes down and gets the psychiatric evaluation, and the guy gives him a clean bill of health. So he comes back, and they dismiss the Ninth Circuit because there's a final order now. So this is the little administrative game they play. So anyway, Dave comes back. Now you got to keep this. You have to keep going to a psychiatrist. And I think it's every 3 months, and be submitted to working on fixing your problems. That is a personality disorder that is severe enough to be repeatedly manifested by overt acts. So what the hell is the medical thing? What is the medical thing? He passed the medical first time. There was no medical issue on the medical application, by the way, which is implied in fact contract, because there's something benefited on both sides, money changed hands. There's no medical anything. And finally, Tilton says, oh, I was relying upon all that civil nonsense that he was doing out in Dillingham. Oh, wait a minute. Your own Bible says you can't do that. Your Bible for your psychiatrist says you can't do that. Oh, well, we're not going there, man. Well, how can you go in to a doctor and say, I'm here to have you fix my personality disorder that is severe enough for repeated, manifested, and overt acts if we don't know what the hell it is medically? It's relying upon civil cases that have already over. And a criminal case. Traffic citations. I get a traffic citation that has something to do with this. It's never been defined. And they nail pilots all the time on this nonsense. Well, so I went back and I looked at where did that term, those words, come from? There is no statutory authority of Congress for those words called a personality disorder that is severe enough to have repeated, manifested itself in overt acts. There is no statutory authority. They're supposed to expand on it. They didn't expand on it. They made the freaking damn thing up. They made it up. Why did they make it up? Because the pilots for these big organizations, these big airline outfits, were looking at a way to take away the liabilities. You go back and read the Federal Register. They didn't want to be liable for pilots that have drinking or drug or wacko problems. So they put in a catch-all. If they couldn't prove the drugs, they couldn't prove the alcohol, they couldn't prove you're wacky, we got this. And they made the damn thing up in the Federal Register. Yep. 61, Federal Register, 11238. That was made up. They just made it up. The agency said, hey, we're taking the law in our own hands and we're going to create something that has never been defined. We're not going to find it. We have no statutory authority. But man, we can sure use this to screw them damn pilots if we want to. We get an urge to or whatever, and then we can help the airlines out because we can take these pilots out that might be a problem and then eliminate liability to the airline carriers. This whole case, nobody will define it. We finally got Tilton to say what he was relying upon. And their Bible says you can't do that. Which we put in the complaint. We took the excerpt out and said, you can't do it. Well, they don't want to go there. So I put in a motion to dismiss. Oh, we got sovereign immunity in the United States. No, wait a minute here. We got a problem here, Bubba. You can't claim sovereign immunity for the United States because the Council of the United States has not appeared in this damn frickin' case, Bubba. It's at FAA. You're an agency. Who does agencies? That's under the United States of America. And I put in, highlighted, in color, 109 or 113 cases, which says sovereign body politic is United States of America. That's for agencies. Bubba, you're an agency. Then I put in the information that showed the same exact case from the United States District Court out of Mississippi under the authority of the territory made under the territory of Hawaii. Put that in there. It went to the Fifth Circuit initially. Back in a minute.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back here. We're going to close this out. This is what Tilton did, by the way. The guy that gave a commercial pilot that had a heart issue okayed him again to fly a plane for GCI, and out in Dillingham, Senator Stevens, this guy flew right into a mountain over there, probably with a heart condition, just sitting there. He had a heart condition, and GCI was never sued. Senator Stevens was killed, and we got that Democrat baggage in there, piece of garbage. And this is the same guy, Tilton. He finally made it. We finally flushed him out. Your history includes multiple acts involving arrest of forcible entry, charges of theft, failure to file state tax returns, resisting arrest, driving with a suspended or revoked driver's license, unlawful use of an operating license, failure to pay court-ordered child support, and traffic violations. The totality of these repeated conflicts with various civil requirements, rather than each individual event, suggest a pattern of behavioral instability that appear to repeatedly manifest disregarding generally accepted rules of behavior. And he goes on to say that, well, we don't have anything. There's no medical. We just think you might do this. Really? You just might do this. See, it suggests something. And your frickin' damn Bible that you and your psychiatrist rule by says you can't do it. Sheesh. You just can't make this stuff up. They have it in for Dave Glatton, and they're bound. It's been, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years since he's been able to fly. Legally. Here he has 35 years of obeying all the regulations and 14,000 plus hours. What more do you want? This is guys that hadn't even met him after Tilton said, you go get this psychiatrist thing and pass it, and we're good to go. But then he says, you got to go in and get it. Go to another psychiatrist every 3 months and say, okay, we're here to fix the problem. Well, what's the problem? And he defines it. It's all this past history of nonsense that your own damn Bible says you can't do. Where's the logic of it? Where's the law of it? There is none. So this lawsuit is going, I'm going to be posting it today to the IRS list and then the people that email me that want to see it. And if you want to see this other thing of John Thornton's case, on traffic, how we dealt with that. And the other part of this that we put in this is a part about private law. They're using private law. It says, every partial or private law which directly proposes to destroy or affect individual rights and does the same thing by affording remedies leading to similar consequences is unconstitutional and void. That's Cotting, C-O-T-T-I-N-G, versus Goddard, G-O-D-A-R-D, and it's 183 U.S. 79. 183 U.S. 79. Do you think a citizen of the United States means everything to everybody? All the natives are citizens of the United States. They got all kinds of special benefits. That's just for starters. They don't pay property taxes. They can go fishing. They got all sorts of. They can kill moose when they feel like it. They even got their own courts over there in some of these places down Alaska. We got native courts. Really? How the hell do you have a court for natives for adoption different from a for pale-faced adoptions? What am I missing here? You think there might be a problem that there's no discrimination for a citizen of the United States that has no country, has no domicile? Wow, have we been conned. And we keep signing up for it. Worked out really good for Esau in the Bible, right? Cannot make this stuff up. It's just, it's shocking to the conscience that we've been conned. And all of these people, hundreds of millions every year signed up to be a citizen of the United States, and they have not a freaking clue. And it is prohibitive. I got it out of the 1938, based on Slaughterhouse and Cruikshank cases. The citizen of the United States is prohibitive and remains dormant. It's only to go after state actors and state law. Anyway, I hope you learned something. Watch out for the federalities are everywhere, and God willing, we shall see you next Sunday.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting.